We are reading this morning from the 11th canto, chapter 14, text 21. Text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na sadayati mang yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Na svadhyayas tapastyago. Yata bhaktir mamorjita. Na sadayati mang yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava. Na svadhyayas tapastyago. Yatha bhakti mamorjita. Because of shortage of time with your assent, I will go to the translation of purport. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation. Wie machst du das? Du liest das vom Text ab oder so vom Hören? Und wenn ich Himmel sage, dann sagst du Sonne. Purport. One may make Krishna the goal of mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, etc. Yet such activities do not please the Lord as much as direct loving service which one practices by hearing and chanting about the Lord and executing his mission. You can see there is an Ali. Now we think an Ali is a disturbance, but Krishna even accepts the service of the Ali. The Ali is a bee. You remember from yesterday? Hare Krishna. So, Srila Rupa Goswami states, Jnana Kamadya Navritam. A devotee should simply depend on Krishna and should not unnecessarily complicate his loving service with tendencies toward fruitive work or mental speculation. The residents of Vrindavan simply depend on Lord Krishna. When the great serpent Agasura appeared in the precincts of Braj, the cowherd boys, completely confident in their friendship with Lord Krishna, fearlessly marched into the serpent's gigantic mouth. Such pure love for Krishna brings the Lord under the control of the devotees. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Nami Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nirvashesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarini Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Govaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. So, let us again hear the verse. My dear Uddhava, says Krishna. Oh, I should actually explain to you, my dear devotees, the content in which this, or context, it's actually the Zusammenhang. Krishna is ready to leave the world. He has retired into a lonely part of the forest. He leans against a banyan tree and he is in a meditative posture. This great devotee Uddhava finds him in the forest because he has so much love for Krishna that the love is guiding him to where his beloved Lord is waiting. And he looks at Krishna and immediately understands that the Lord wants to leave this world. He has appeared in this world in the prison house of Nanda, of Yashoda, of Devaki and Vasudev. You can see what I really believe. Huh? He has appeared there and now he will disappear, but not like an ordinary person. He will go in his self-same body and just move up through a path which is not possible even to be taken by mystic yogis. He will move through the universe and then go to his own place, like we go from one room to another. So Uddhava can see that, and he is heartbroken, and is really heartbroken, and cries at the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord says, "Don't cry. We will meet again." Uddhava is still very heartbroken, and then the Lord says to him, "I have a service for you. I wish you to go to where I have not gone. There are great devotees of me who live at Bararikashrama. This is a place high up into the Himalaya mountains. And I wish you to tell to them the secrets of devotional service as I will now explain them to you." So when Uddhava is hearing that, Krishna has a service for me, and I should go and deliver his message to other devotees, he feels there is a meaning in my life. Even when Krishna has gone, I will be connected to Krishna through the service which he has given to me. And he feels encouraged, although, of course, his heart is broken. We can imagine Uddhava leaving the Lord because it would be too painful for him to see how the Lord would just move up and disappear. We can imagine how he is coming finally to the foothills of the Himalayas near Haridwar and Rishikesh, and how from time to time he just sits down at the bank of the Ganga and produces another Ganga of his tears. We can imagine what must have gone on in his heart. But he kept himself alive, just like Arjuna kept himself alive in the absence of Lord Krishna. Arjuna also had to keep himself alive without Krishna's presence. Arjuna and Uddhava remembered the Gita. Arjuna remembered the Bhagavad Gita, which was spoken to him, and Uddhava remembered the Uddhava Gita, which Lord Krishna spoke much later to him. And he kept the instruction in his heart. And when he finally reached his destination, that is the hot springs of Bararikashrama, which make it possible that the yogis can stay there even in the winter. He made an Easter ghost and said, "Listen, before the Lord left, he actually was thinking of you." "What? He was thinking of us?" said "But we are so fallen, we are so far away from him. We are in here practicing mystic yoga. He thinks of us?" "Yes," said Uddhava, "and he has a message for you. Listen to this message." So all the saints came together around him, and then he gave them an interesting message. He said, The unalloyed devotional service which my devotees render to me brings me under the control of my devotees." And then he said something which was very important for the mystic yogis to hear who lived high up in the mountains. He said, "I cannot be controlled by those who are engaged in mystic yoga." Oh, said the saints. "Aha, this is not so pleasing for Krishna." "I cannot be controlled," said Krishna, "by Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation." "Oh," said the saints, "this is good to know. We do all these things." "Well, then what do we do then?" And Uddhava said, "Do kirtan." So all these long-haired yogis, mystic yogis, you know, really mystic yogis, they could go like control their mind and senses, and then whoop, they would fly to some other planetary system. They were accomplished. These were not beginners who do a few innocent gymnastic exercises. They were the real stuff, you know. We do kirtan. They did kirtan. My dear devotees, only a few months ago, I was in Bararikashrama. I was there with Gadadha and his wife, with Badri Vishal, and many first-class devotees were with us. We had a little bus. It had five repairs before it reached Bararikashrama. Five times, bang, puncture. No problem, you know. So then, Badri Vishal brought us to the teacher of the mystic yogis. He's the singing teacher. So then, we did a kirtan there, and some yogis came. And these yogis, slowly, you know, with hair like this, with a glance which looks like a sword, you know. When they look at you, it's like swords come out of their eyes. They have so much mental power. You know. We did a kirtan and we danced and we became like children. We danced and we sweated and all their hairs were going all over the place. No problem. You know, and I remembered in the end these yogis said, "Yes," they said, "this was the message of Krishna to our pre-yogis who lived here thousands of years ago, that Krishna is becoming controlled, he's becoming the servant, he's coming close to those who practice bhakti." Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. There is a verse, it's called the Narayana Dhyat Dhyatma. Dhyatma means dhyan, the scripture which discloses the heart of meditation. This scripture says, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains always invisible to the conditioned souls, he may be seen by the intervention of the Lord's transcendental potency. What is the intervention of the Lord's transcendental potency? Bhakti. Ananda Vadan. This time you know the answer. We are proud of you. You are a true Brahmin. Without the mercy of the Lord's potency. What is the Lord's potency? Oh, finally, five of you know. Who is able to see the eternal Lord? So again, without the mercy of the Lord's potency, bhakti, who is able to see the eternal Lord? Bhakti has this power, my dear devotees, that it can bring God under the control of the bhakta. Because this is what Krishna personally says. He says, by unalloyed devotional service, by this bhakti, who am usually far away from everyone, is sadayati. Sadayati is brought under the control. I think if you that maybe you don't believe this, but listen how Baladev Vidyabhushana, the great Gaudiya Acharya, explains how bhakti brings the Lord. He says, in other words, bhakti alone takes the living being to Bhagavan and enables him to see him. Krishna cannot keep himself away from his bhakta. He is magically attracted to his bhakti, bhaktas. And he says, he breaks the bonds which the yogis try to build around him by meditating about him. He breaks that easily. For some time, in other words, they can hold him in his heart, but then Krishna leaves again. But the devotee who is engaged in unalloyed devotional service is able to keep the Lord a prisoner in his heart, so that the Lord cannot leave the devotee. He just can't do it. How bhakti brings the Lord is explained in Krishna's own words. And I want to quote these words, because otherwise I know you just won't believe me, because it's such a big subject. Bhaktyamang abhijanati javanjaschasmi tatvataha tatomang tatvato gyatva vishate tat anantaram. One can understand me, says Krishna, as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Just remember this. Bhakti can bring you to the Lord, and bhakti can bring the Lord to you. What does it mean if one is full in bhakti? One can even cross all these universes and enter the kingdom of God. Prabhupada says, Vishate, to enter, means that one can enter the abode of the Supreme Lord in one's individuality to engage in his association and render service to him. In other words, entering the kingdom of God doesn't mean you stop being an individual. It just it is as if a green bird enters a green tree. In Vrindavan you see this often. Green parrots fly into green trees. They don't stop being parrots. They remain individuals and engage in Krishna's personal service. So this is the power of bhakti. It brings Bhagavan and it brings you to Bhagavan. Double power. It attracts Bhagavan and it brings you to Bhagavan. I want to give you an analogy or example which is given in this connection. The great devotee Madhavendra Puri, he came in great ecstatic love to Vrindavan. It's described in various Vaishnava scriptures that Madhavendra Puri was always in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. And once he came to Vrindavan and he did what every devotee does who goes to Vrindavan. He made a Govardhan Parikrama. Who of you has done the Govardhan Parikrama? Wow, this is very good. Michael, you also did? Wow. Last day of Kartik even. My God, this is a good day. Last day of Kartik, isn't that when Tulsi is married to Krishna? I think so.
Five days more.
Yeah. So, when doing Govardhan Parikrama, it is said that Krishna, in an unseen form, walks behind you because he's so enthusiastic that you circumambulate Giriraj, which is one form of him. That he walks behind you and he listens what is in your mind. And he wants to know what you want, what you really want. And then he fulfills these desires. He will test you when you say, I want love of God. He says, I don't believe this. Let us wait one more year, what he wants in one more year. But anything, you know, in I met 20 boys, Brijbasi boys, in their blue school uniforms, you know. And I asked them, why do you do Govardhan Parikrama, you know, through a dolmisha? And they said, tomorrow is the day of examination and we do Giriraj Parikrama and then we will make it. We have not learned the whole year, but by Giriraj potency, it will work. This is the Brijbasis. They have so much faith, you know, they need to make the examination. So they, whom to ask? Giriraj, of course. And Krishna fulfills that smilingly. Only with love of Godhead, he just wants to be very sure that that's really in the heart. So, all right. So, Madhavendra Puri had completed his Giriraj Parikrama and he sat down at Govindakund. Who of you has seen Govindakund? I sometimes stay there if Krishna is merciful. So, he sat there. And he was just so moved by the experience of Govardhan Parikrama that he did not stop his chanting. Now, normally, saints will go in the evening or in noontime, it depends on their schedule, and go for Madhukari. They will beg their food. But Madhavendra Puri was so moved in his Krishna consciousness. He was just chanting. And Do you sometimes feel this, that you are so much in the chanting, you know there's prasadam, but you don't want to go? Do you sometimes have this? I think some of us have sometimes had it in the beginning of their spiritual life or in the middle, and sometimes it's not that we are such beginners in Krishna consciousness. We just don't want to say. So he was just not able to go and take care of his belly. Then, all of a sudden, he heard a knocking at the door. It was very soft. There was no door. I must correct myself. He was sitting under a tree. I can show you this tree if you want next time we are in Vrindavan. He was sitting there. He was chanting, "Oh Krishna, oh Krishna, 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 Krishna." It was so much bhakti was there. So all of a sudden he saw a very sweet little Brijbasi boy, "Baba, Krishna, Krishna, Baba, Krishna, Krishna, Baba, Krishna, Krishna." Then he felt him tugging on his... "Oh, yes, what? Here, I brought some milk for you. You must be hungry. Milk is a preferred... nourishment, you must know, of devotees who perform bhajans. There are some devotees who only live on milk, because in good cow milk, I don't think our poor German tortured cows have this quality milk, but in good cow milk, by real cows, you know, who are kept lovingly and affectionately, there's everything you need for your nourishment. Obviously, when we are used to big meals, then it's difficult and we feel hungry. But there are sadhus I have seen with my own eyes who only drink milk. That's all. No more. And they like it because then their toilet is not so big and, you know, everything is easy, you know. So he brought him, this boy brought Madhavendra Puri just what he needed. And he said, you drink this and I will come in the evening and collect the container. When I came here, Chaitanya Rasa and Madhavisakhi gave me Jagannath's cookies in this box, and they said, and please return the container. So I have it here. It was the same idea, so to say. So I will get the container later. So Madhavendra Puri drank the milk. It was very nice. And he continued to chant and chant and chant and was very ecstatic in his chanting. But he could only think of that boy. Then the evening came and he was thinking, when will the boy come? When will I see the boy? When will I hear his sweet voice? But the boy didn't come. Throughout the whole night, the boy didn't come. Only in the early morning, Manjari, early morning, Madhavendra Puri had a dream, and in that dream, the boy came and said, "Oh Madhavendra Puri, I have waited for you. When you came and did your Govardhan Parikrama, and when you chanted, you brought me under your control, so that I just had to come and bring you milk. I just had to do it. Your bhakti has brought me and attracted me to your side. Here's your milk. And I have one service for you." What service? Bhagavan, Lord has a service. Madhavendra Puri couldn't believe his eyes. The Lord has served me. He felt so bad. I should serve the Lord. But now the Lord said, he would have a service for me. I am here, said the Lord. I am here. I'm buried under the earth by my other servants who knew that the Muslims, if they would find me, they would try to do harm. So you go there when the sun is up, and you just take me out of the earth, and I'm hungry, and my body is hot from all these years of lying in the hot earth, you know. You give me an abhishek, and you explain all over Braj that everyone is welcome. I am the Lord of Giriraj. I lifted Giriraj, and I'm ready now to receive all my servants again. Oh, Madhavendra Puri was in ecstasy. He couldn't wait until the morning sun rose over Vaisnav Anyur. But when it came up, he just went to the village of Anyur. He said, people, wake up. And they were, what? Oh, Sadhu Maharaj, you are very early today, said the bridge Parsi. This is too early for us. We are farmers. You wake up. You stay. No. Wake up. Come. Okay. What should we do? The Lord has appeared. What? The Lord? You're sure? Yes. He said he's buried there. You go, let's all go and get him. Oh yes, let us go. And they brought all their shovels and their instruments, and they went to where the Lord, and they dug the earth, and they first found a hand. That was the right arm of Krishna. There's a verse about this right arm of Krishna. May the right arm and the right hand of Krishna, who lifted Giriraj, protect you all. That verse is there by Rupa Goswami. So they got the Lord out of the earth. Madhavendra Puri gave instructions how to, where to place him. They got one Giriraj as an altar, you know, one big Shila like this. And then they put one Shila in the back, a big Shila. And they put the Lord right on top. And then they made for many, many days continuously festivals of offering huge amount of food to him, because they felt he's hungry and he has already eaten in the past huge mountains of foods when we did the Giriraj Puja. It's the same Lord. He can eat like anything. You know, it's almost like if we invite Ananda Varan, we know we will have to really produce mountains of food so that he is satisfied. So they knew we have to take care of him. He is very hungry. Since many, many centuries, he has not eaten. So they gave mountains of food. This is an example how bhakti, a good example, how bhakti pulls Krishna to the devotee, so that Krishna feels compelled to give his darshan to the devotees. Here is how Krishna feels so happy with the bhakti of a devotee that he speaks to the devotee. Now, I've taken this from Madhuya Kadambini, 8th chapter, 9th verse. It's very beautiful. When the beautiful Lord is attracted by the bhakti of the devotees, that bhakti or that shakti brings the devotee into Krishna's presence so that he has the darshan. And then Krishna speaks to him in a kind and gentle voice. O best of devotees, Rasamoti, das musst du noch hören, eine Minute, das ist wie Krishna zu einem Devotee spricht, wie kann man da weggehen? Da musst du da bleiben, das ist wichtig. No, these are real things, Rasamoti. They are not unreal things. O best, it's really 1.5 minutes. O best of devotees, for many births you have given up your material well-being just for my sake. You have endured so many hardships like cold, hunger, thirst, pain, and disease in order to serve me. You have ignored so many insults, and you have even taken to begging to make a living. Like us, we have gone on Sankirtan, we have been insulted, and we tolerate the cold of this Abenteuer place, you know. I do not know how to repay you, and so I remain your debtor. What could I possibly offer you in return? To offer you lordship over the world, like make you the king or the queen of the world, or to make you the master of the heavenly planets, or to give you mystic perfection would be an insult for you. How could anyone offer a human being animal food? Krishna calls mystic perfection and ruling over the world animal food. How could he give that? So, although I'm Achyuta, invincible, you have won me over. Your good conduct is now my only support. Du kannst gehen. So this is the idea. That Krishna becomes so moved by the bhakti in the heart of his devotee that he feels unable to repay. That he feels not able to give back something. He remains a debtor. This is how Krishna greets his devotee. Then the devotee speaks, O Lord, O Master, O ocean of compassion, you saw how I had fallen into the raging current of material existence, where I was being chewed to bits by swarms of crocodile-like sufferings. When you saw me suffering like this, your butter-like heart melted. So even though you are beyond the mundane world, you assumed the form of Sri Guru by cutting through my timeless ignorance with the Sudarshan disc of your darshan. You released me from those crocodile jaws, desiring to make me a maidservant of your lotus feet. You uttered the syllables of your mantra into my ear, stopping all my sufferings. You purified me by repeatedly engaging me in hearing, chanting, and remembering your holy names and attributes. You even taught me how to serve you by giving me the association of your devotees. But despite all this kindness, I'm such a lowly fool that I have you that I have not served you, not even for a single day. And yet, although I am so bad that I deserve only punishment, you have given me the sweetness of your darshan to drink. This is a relationship, a loving relationship. So you can see the benefit of bhakti. Bhakti, my dear devotees, is what attracts the Lord and what brings you to the Lord. It is the greatest power in this world. Oh, hopefully we will not see the day when there's no bhakti in this world. Hopefully we will associate with devotees who have bhakti in their heart and who can help us to transform our heart, which is like a desert burning with material desires, into a beautiful oasis which will attract the Lord to come and stay in our heart. Beg for this bhakti. Pray for this bhakti. Know that this bhakti is all you need. You don't need God. You need bhakti, because bhakti attracts the Lord. If you have no bhakti, you may see the Lord like Duryodhana saw the Lord, or the washerman of Mathura saw the Lord, but they didn't see him properly. So you need bhakti. Krishna. I want to end here. I thank you very much for listening to this presentation, and I want to see if you have any questions which are left. Anandanitai has a question. I will just look around. Bhananandini has a question. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you find it in the Madhurya Kadambini, 8th, I think it's called a rain shower, 8th chapter, verse number 9, and following on. It's very nice to read that, because our heart gets melted. Oh, if the Lord is so nice, if he's so pleased, if he sees, sometimes we see, no one sees what I'm going through. No one sees the inner struggle which I have. Do you sometimes know? No one sees that I'm not good, but I'm trying to be good, and what it means for me to try to be good. But Krishna sees it, and he sees that you are struggling with the other side of you, swarms of crocodiles which are around you. Have you ever been in water with crocodiles? You have been? I have only been on a boat, I wanted to see, but it was not possible when I was in Florida. But in the Ganga, there are little crocodiles also. So it's very dangerous that you are with the crocodiles of your material desires. Very dangerous. Ooh. Oh, Krishna. But the Lord comes and sees that. Yes, Bhananandi.
Thank you very much for this two presentations on bhakti. You are so wonderful. And my question is, how do you present bhakti to people who are not body rationals? How do you relate to them that it doesn't sound like you are trying to convert them? Because you have also people coming from other traditions and discussing them.
You mean that they also have some idea of bhakti, and if we... I see. Yes, other traditions, from our perspective, do have also some investment of the Lord's mercy. Not some; they have investment of the Lord's mercy, which is revealed to them by their saints, For instance, I'm thinking of Mohammed now. Mohammed having a feeling that the people around him who worshipped so many, gods and goddesses to fulfill their material desires, were not doing the right thing. They didn't have really love for God. They were going to these different demigods, we would say, or different folklore gods, you know, to get something from them. So he felt there was something wrong in his times, and he went into a cave, and there he prayed for a long time for a higher concept of religion than this, you know, I give you this and you give me that, this dealing with the Lord. So he was feeling some yearning for some love for the Lord. And at that time, an angel appeared, you know, with wings before him in the cave. He was full of light, this angel, and he said to Muhammad, "Read." Now Muhammad didn't know how to read, and also there was no reading, there was also no cartoon or any reading material there. So, "Read," again he said, "What? How? Read." Then the angel gave him the Quran. And in that Quran, the Holy Scripture, you will find a lot on selfless love for God. A lot. Now, this bhakti which you find in there, selfless love for God, reaches up to the idea that I'm a servant of God and He is my unlimited master. In the tradition, the Gaudiya tradition, that concept of love is intensified by shortening the emotional distance between the servant and the Lord. In there we understand that you can be in a friendly relationship to God, Sakya Rasa. We understand you can come even closer, that is the Vatsalya Rasa, and then the Madhurya Rasa. This understanding of bhakti, that in such a relationship, is not given anywhere else. That is a unique brand of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this concept of bhakti appears in other rasas, in other religions, like in Islam, for instance, as servitude, and then Christianity, in the beginning of Krishna Sanghita, some concept is there, and so on. So I think if you present bhakti to people who have already found their spiritual path and they approach the Lord through a certain teaching, a bona fide teaching, Prabhupada would always say we should encourage them to stay on their path. Because there may be a reason why they are on this path. It may be they have this adhikar. Only a few, like Gaurangi and you, who were Muslims, will feel attracted to something else, and they can then be and encouraged along that way. I think it's very, very important to let people understand we are talking about the same thing, but there are different perspectives on it. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. In the beginning of, I believe, if I remember correctly, let us ask Gopa Kripa Prabhu, who has read a lot of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's literature, Is it there in Krishna Sangita? I remember there was a short paragraph somewhere in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing who traced bhakti in the different religions, Christianity, Islam. Even he saw something in Confucius and Lao Tse, and so on. The development of the concept of God and how to serve Him. Little of, yeah, he's the father, right. Little bit of Vatsalya Rasa is there. Nice how he can see. Huh? Yeah, he's my father, Father Almighty in heavens. And you approach him in this famous prayer, like a son or daughter approaches the father. No, very, very nice, actually. Very, very nice relationship. So Islam is a servitude and like this. Where do we find this? Do you remember?
No,
but
I also did not read
directly.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some writing, yes, in the book. Yeah. You saw there? Yes. Mandaleshwari saw it in Krishna Sanghita in the book. Good. Fine. And what is about you? What is about your relationship to Krishna? Are you thinking of your relationship to Krishna or are you not thinking of your relationship? Do you sometimes feel pain that your relationship is not as developed, or does it? Is it not? Doesn't? Is it absolutely no concern for you? It doesn't matter, you know. What is about you? We have a few more days to think about this question of absorbing ourselves in Krishna. Are you absorbed or are you just not caring? You know, let's eat and sleep and look TV. You know, what is? Where are you? This is very important to ask this question. Very important. Today in our workshop, we will actually learn. Listen to this. To absorb ourselves entirely in Krishna. We will follow the guideline of an ancient scripture called Sanat Kumar Sanghita, which gives two mantras and then the meditation which is to be performed. It's very absorbing. We have some nice surprises, so I request you to take your meals, and some of you please rest for 15 minutes after the meal, because you are getting tired, a little bit like me also, and we need you fully awake. If you sleep again, you slept yesterday, the record, 11 times you fell asleep during the workshop. No? I will do something which you will never forget for the rest of your life. Hare Krishna. Don't feel threatened, please. I'm a very innocent man. No problem. I'm just saying. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.